This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's get our petties in here, people. Text in Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer, text line 713-572-4610. What are you feeling petty about? What are we feeling petty about? What are others around the world of sports feeling very petty about? We do it every Tuesday at around 8 o'clock. Let's start with this one. This is a soundbite that actually dropped a few days ago, but we held it till Tuesday for the petty cast. Jim Bowden, who is a former GM in Major League Baseball, former executive. He's a media member now. He writes some good stuff for The Athletic. He's a really good source for, like, power rankings of free agents and what teams should do, stuff like that. He was also recently on a podcast where he just crushed Houstonian Anthony Rendon, former Rice Owl, Lamar High School. What was the other one, Seth?
George Bush High School, too.
Okay, yeah. So he's
out there south of George Bush Park.
There you go.
This is a huge park.
From Houston. And his contract with the Angels has not been good. He signed a huge deal with the Angels after the Nationals won the World Series in 2019.
It's been a Pujolsian effort. This is like their second Pujols. Yeah,
7 years, $245 million, and here was Jim Bowden on Anthony Rendon.
Player should have been released 2 years ago. He can't play. He's done. He can't play when he's healthy. He can't play when he's not healthy. It's been one of the biggest busts of any free agent signing in this era. It's been a total disaster. And I said this, and the people in Washington didn't like it when I said the Nationals shouldn't re-sign him because he doesn't like baseball. It's like J.D. Drew. They don't love baseball. They play it because it's a job. It's work for him. But there's no incentive past that. Look, he could really hit in his prime. He always had injury prone when he came up with Seattle. He was injury prone when he was drafted. And the way I look at Rendon, I don't want to waste my time or voice or energy. I don't think we'll ever see him play a game again. I don't. If they want to put him on the emergency IL and keep paying him, that's fine. They can do that. I would release the player and just move on.
His last year in Washington, the year they won the World Series, it was the only year he was an All-Star. He hit 34 home runs, led the league in RBIs with 126, led the league in doubles with 44. His OPS was over 1,000. Since then, he's hit 22 home runs.
Total
since then. 22 home runs. He's played.
Wow.
This is the number of games he's played in. Now, 2020 was the COVID year. He played 52 out of the 60 games. But in the four full seasons since COVID, 58, 47, 43, and 57. That's the number of games he's played in each year. And he's making upwards of $38 million
a year. Yeah.
Yep.
And he's okay. So OPS plus is a stat that kind of normalizes everything. The average major league hitter is a 100 OPS plus.
Yeah.
In his time with the Angels, his OPS plus is 100. Like he's been an average. Been an average major league hitter while making $38
million. When he's on the field, he's totally unavailable. You know.
Like, so Bowden is this is a celebration of Jim Bowden's pettiness, I suppose, and trying to. He's basically saying, "I told you so. You bums in Washington thought I was an idiot when I said you shouldn't retain him, and all you fans, you stupid fans." Exactly. He's being very petty towards you, the fan.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm torn on this because. During one of the games during the 2019 World Series, I talked casually to one of, I'm assuming it was a Rendon family member because he's from Houston and they were all wearing Rendon jerseys. Yeah. And, he didn't know who I was. I didn't know who he was. And we had a pleasant time. I was impressed by the Rendon family.
Yeah.
Or at least Rendon acquaintances. So now I feel personally offended by Jim Bowden.
By Jim Bowden.
Hey, he's an average Major League Baseball player. Damn
it. In the one third of the season that he normally plays, okay?
Shame on the Angels, not on him.
Yep. Jonathan Papelbon weighed in, the former closer for the Red Sox. I've played with both Drew
He's always saying nice things.
Yeah, I've played with both Drew and Rendon, and I can confirm 100% with Jim, they both hate baseball and having to show up at a big league ballpark. Oh, that's harsh. That's petty, too,
is
man.
Is the $38 million really worth it when you don't love what you're doing?
Now I'm getting petty at Rendon. All right, let's keep moving.
Think about that. Like, can you not learn to love something for $38 million
a year? I told you. Who was it that... Oh, the $3 million that Nick Cayley got offered by the New England Patriots. I'm like, you don't want to know what I would do for $3 million, let alone $38
million. There are people in arranged marriages who learn to love their spouse, and they had no say in the matter.
Right.
You signed a contract for $38 million a year. Learn to love it, man.
Yeah, and if you don't, just know you got nice things. You got nice things. Yeah. All right, let's keep it moving. This was the Philadelphia Eagles parade for winning the Super Bowl. Took place late last week. Their mayor's name is Sherelle Parker. She got up there. Now, she was up there talking for a while, to where Eagle fans...
Oh, like too long for a parade. Like
too
when
long
you're
for Philadelphians, for sure. Yeah. They were chanting...
Well, even the athletes you love, you don't want to... Well, usually, especially because they're drunk, you're hoping like, okay, let's give me 90 good seconds
and don't
end up going viral for the wrong reasons.
They were chanting, wrap it up at her. Wrap it up. Wrap it up. But this is what I wanted to play. Here's the audio I wanted to play. She butchered a cliche.
Minded us all through their excellence that nothing is possible when we work together as a team.
Oops. No, it's anything.
She's
is
openly
possible.
Pining for a dictatorship. Right. My God, what am I going to do, Sean? What am I going to do? Criticize somebody for botching something? I do it once every 3 minutes.
It's fine, but
I screwed it up. It's once every 2 minutes. See?
There you go. She was publicly speaking at the parade. Anything is possible. This is me being petty right now. This is me. Yeah. This is Sean Pendergast. Petty, yeah.
I think the fact that she had gone too long and then botched that—that's that's the unforgivable part.
Yes, because she was trying to be inspirational. Anything
Nothing is possible.
Like, wow, this is very existential. You're all going to die.
That's my message to all the kids.
That's right.
When I talk to them at this point.
Hey, nothing's possible, kids. Life is a big nothing.
It's all... We're all destined for the same place. We're going to die. So why bother?
That's right. Draymond Green was on the studio show for the All-Star game this weekend. Boy, what a buzzkill Draymond was. And I get it. Like, in his general tone about the All-Star weekend, I think mirrored a lot of folks it feels like there's way more negative than positive about the All-Star weekend right now. That's my feeling on it. But Draymond killed a certain part of the All-Star game weekend that I feel like he is partially responsible for. Here is Draymond saying that he hated the format of the actual All-Star game on Sunday. The four teams, including... one of the four teams being the Rising Stars, not an All-Star team.
You work all year to be an All-Star, and you get to play up to 40, and then you're done. This is so unfair to Victor Wembanyama, who just took this game really seriously, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who just took this game really seriously. When you talk about chasing after the points records, Melo, Kobe, and all these guys who've had great scoring nights, they don't get the opportunity to do that with this game. Also, we can watch some Rising Stars. We're about to watch the Olympic team. Now we get the treat of watching the Olympic team play against a U-19 team. Come on, what are we doing? This is ridiculous. Yeah,
Kenny's team is done, by the way. Chuck won. Kenny's team was the one that's eliminated.
Yes.
Yeah, so SGA's still in it, Victor in it. But you're talking about the scoring records that we've heard. Tatum leading all scores, 55 a few years ago. It's harder to catch
them. They can't do that. They don't get to etch their name in the history books. It's the reason you get an All-Star, Kobe Bryant All-Star MVP award.
Scale of 1 to 10, your thoughts of the format?
10 being the best?
Yes.
A 0. Okay. Sucks. This ain't basketball.
It sucks. This ain't basketball.
Okay, listen, it was a scale of 1 to 10, Draymond. Yeah. All right. No. You failed. You're as bad as the All-Star game.
Yeah, that's petty. Here's my glitch with Draymond is, dude, if you guys, if your era of players, because it feels like this is a much more recent development. It feels like, and I don't know if it's a narrative. I just know when I was watching the All-Star games in the 80s, maybe the early 90s, I never sat there and watched it. These guys aren't even trying. Maybe it wasn't like game 7 of the finals, but it felt like there was a torch being passed from like Jordan to Kobe in the try-hard realm.
Yeah.
And it's been passed on to this generation, and it's turned into the league just fumbling around trying to make it compelling. So I would say to Draymond, I'm like, look in the mirror at your own era of NBA players. Like, you're the reason why they're having to do these stupid formats that they're doing.
You guys were so bad at playing conventional basketball in the All-Star game that this is what we've been reduced
to. Yeah, you're partially responsible for this, Draymond. And and Barkley killed him for that, too. I don't have the audio for it, but Barkley was like, I couldn't disagree with Draymond more. Like, this, like, your era is the reason why this is happening here. So, let's hear from a couple more. Let's get some college basketball pettiness in here. College basketball has been very underrated with its pettiness. This is John Calipari, former coach at Kentucky, who's now the coach at Arizona, and he hates his team, basically.
And for us to bust through, we're going to have to beat somebody. We can say what we want. Like, I wanted to make sure they weren't happy we're going to be okay. No. If we won that game, say it. We're in the tournament. If we won that game, we're in the tournament. So it's not okay to say we'll be all right. Now you're going to have to go get somebody else. I didn't want to put that on them because I got some guys a little bit fragile. So I'm having to hold them accountable but keep picking them up.
Calipari, the Arkansas version of Calipari.
Yeah.
DGAF. Like, he just gets
good job, Aggies. Yeah. You brought out peak Calipari.
Yes. Yeah. It's not like that. It's not okay. Yell was jarring.
It's not okay. I don't know. That felt a little bit like Brian Kelly when he pounded his fist on the table.
Yeah, a little bit.
Felt a little bit contrived. I don't know if I believe you, Calipari.
All right. Speaking of coaches, as we continue with the petty cast, speaking about coaches who pound their fists or destroy something on the table, this is my alma mater right here. Micah Shrewsbury is the name of the Notre Dame head basketball coach. They have lost 4 out of their last 5. They're not good right now. And I know this firsthand, basketball, of all the football schools out there, maybe the one where there's the biggest gap between football and basketball as far as it being football versus a basketball school is Notre Dame. Like, Notre Dame, basketball there has always fought the second-class citizen stigma. Yeah. And it's bad right now because the team's not good. There were more Louisville fans in the arena for their game against Louisville a couple of days ago than there were Notre Dame fans. Here was Shrewsbury. Take a listen at the very end. The destruction of an item on the table is a microphone, in case you're wondering. Take a listen.
We're going to get this thing rolling. I sat there and watched more Louisville fans in here than Notre Dame people. And that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing for me because I'm the head coach here. And I got us in this predicament. But don't come back when we're losing or when we're winning because we're turning this around, man. You better believe that. Everybody that gave up on me, believe it. Write this date down and believe it. Because we're going to get this thing rolling. I don't care if you gave up on me or not.
Oof. Yeah.
It's like an angry Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
After the Georgia game. Yes. After the Georgia game.
It's Ole Miss. Yes.
They're going to. Or and Ole Miss. Yeah. That'll. After the Ole Miss game. Yeah. They'll. Hey, play that Philadelphia Mary again. Somebody rescue me. You see why I can't criticize the Philadelphia mayor?
You're right.
Someday there will be a placard with that quote that players tap
yes.
on their way out.
Mark this date. He told us to mark the date down.
Mark
Seth.
This date. They're going to put the date. They're going to put that date on a placard and put it above the door frame.
Yes.
So the just like the play like a champion today.
Dude, yeah. He's so getting fired. Oh my God, he's getting fired. That little thump at the end was a poor mic. What did that microphone do to you, Micah Shrewsbury? Hey, last petty real quick.
You know who,
college basketball related, and I suppose broadcasting related, because this guy does both. One, I don't know how good he is at the broadcasting. I don't listen to his show very much. He's not very good as a coach at college basketball. Doug Gottlieb has not won a basketball game in 3 months for Wisconsin Green Bay. For those who don't know, Doug Gottlieb is the... you probably know him from being on ESPN and CBS Sports Radio, now with Fox through the years. Took the job as the head coach at Wisconsin Green Bay while still being able to keep his job as midday host on Fox.
Yeah.
They're 2-24 right now. The Phoenix of Wisconsin Green Bay. They're 2-24.
Are they last in their
They got to be. I'm just going to say
maybe
yes.
Maybe there's been a battle for the last or something.
I would have ignored this, Seth. I would not have been petty about this, but and I know you remember this. He was on Radio Row last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. Doug Gottlieb. In the middle of the basketball season.
In the middle of the basketball season, he was doing his show from Radio Row.
From Radio Row. And I don't think Wisconsin Green Bay was playing in New Orleans that week. I'm pretty sure they're knee deep in the Horizon League regular season, which is all teams up in the ice belt up there. He's 2-24, man. I wouldn't be petty about it, but Gottlieb is fairly obnoxious.
I'll tell you what, honestly, I guess the arrogance. Yeah. I think, and also from somebody who's, he's a hot take sports radio dude and everything, who's probably lambasted and bashed coaches all over the yes. place for years and years and years. To think that you could go in and do that job, it's a little bit of a comeuppance, I would say.
Oh, did I say Arizona coach John Calipari being petty? Text message Jim Adler, Texas Hammer text line being petty. Sean said Calipari is Arizona, not Arkansas. Okay. Yeah, I said Arizona. I misspoke.
You said Arkansas later.
Arkansas. I know I said Arkansas at one point. If I said Arizona, I apologize. Does it really matter?
Let's play the audio of that Houston sports radio host botching Calipari's school.
That guy.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. People agree with you, Draymond. Going 0 on a scale of 1 to 10. That's a good petty right there.
if he was intending it to be inaccurate, he should have said like -12 or something.
Right, exaggerate. Yeah.
Yeah.
For effect.
If you're going to be intentionally wrong, you got to be way intentionally wrong, or otherwise you're just stupid.
Yeah. I it's a text message. I hate, quote, if I could give 0 stars, I would, guy. That's Draymond.
And this is going to be leveled at a few of our listeners, so I apologize in advance, but I cannot handle one more. Oh, why don't they just have him play flag football? When it comes to like anytime there's somebody flagged for unsportsmanlike
that,
I'm like, yes, yeah, I understand the sentiment. It's not that I disagree with the sentiment. It's just that. This is not a new joke that you're making.
No.
But I feel like people are saying that as if they just thought they coined it in their brain.
Dude.
They're like, ha-ha, hey, I've got one for you. Why don't they play flag football? I can't handle it anymore. I'll block you.
It's Houston, we have a problem. It's the equivalent of that. Like, no, that joke is dead. For like 30 years now, it's dead. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We're giving away rodeo tickets in the 9 o'clock hour, so be listening for that. Up next, the Bengals. Talk a little. The Bengals are looking to pull off an offseason here that the Texans might need to pay attention to. We will explain why coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. The Cincinnati Bengals of all teams are trying to pull off a coup here in this offseason, and the Texans might need to pay attention to this. The Texans are not one of these teams anymore that just has all sorts of cap space they can go spending willy-nilly. They spent a lot of money. They don't have a ton of space. They can create some, certainly, by cutting guys and restructuring deals. And they're definitely going to do some of that. They need players. Free agency draft, whatever the case may be. But the Bengals are openly trying to get extensions done for, I would say, their three best non-Joe Burrow players. Their two wide receivers and Trey Hendrickson, their defensive end. Ja'Marr Chase doesn't have a long-term deal yet. T. Higgins is on the cusp of being a franchise taggee for the second time. And I believe that window starts today. Now through March, early March, March 4th, I think the date is, teams can put the franchise tag on one free agent to be on their team. T. Higgins already played under the franchise tag last year. He would get a raise from, I think he made $21 million last year. He'd get a raise to about $26 million in 2025 if he were to play under the franchise tag. The belief is they're going to tag him and then either try to get a deal done by the middle of July or trade T. Higgins. So they're trying. These are three top of market guys that they're trying to sign, Seth, with Joe Burrow already under contract for $55 million a year.
Yeah. Okay, so this is where it gets interesting. And immediately when you get into situations like this, I think of the Texans back in 2011 or 2012 when they let Mario Williams go?
It was after the 2011 season. Yep.
After the 2011 season. Eric Winston right around that same time, too. Yes. They found themselves in a position for the first time in franchise history where, wow, we've got a bunch of good players.
Yep.
And they had to give Arian Foster, or they gave Arian Foster a new contract. And you got to make some tough decisions, and you got to let some of these guys go. And I am of the opinion that, or I guess the other side of it is you can spend. And you can spend off into the future. The Eagles right now are in a spot where in 2027, this is where you look out 3 years from now to get a feel for, okay, how leveraged is a team against their future.
Yep.
The Eagles have the least cap space in the year 2027.
Yep.
And you can say, all right, well, you know what? And Howie Roseman, the GM, has basically said, yeah, you know what? Like, you got to deal with this at some point. We felt like we could put together a really competitive roster. We gave some big contracts out to multiple players. And hopefully we can capitalize on it now, but we'll have to pay the piper somewhere down the road. The cautionary tale is that in 2027, the team that's just below the Eagles or just above the Eagles in terms of the cap dollars or cap room are the 49ers, who are they're spending just as much as the Eagles. In the 49ers, it feels like, oh boy, they made that big spending splurge in the last couple of years. It didn't result in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And what do we do now? Because we got to probably start trimming some fat at some point. So I think that the Bengals they might be considering, okay, do we take this gamble of saying we've got Joe Burrow and these receivers in their prime, we've got Trey Hendrickson, who's a really good defensive player, do we just go ahead and spend against the future? They're not a team that's typically done that.
No, they are not a team that's typically done that.
And for Texans fans who might be a little bit nervous about the Texans being up against the cap much more so this year than last year, in 2027, they have the sixth most room. So Nick's done a pretty good job of spending aggressively but on shorter-term contracts. So they've got a lot more flexibility than some of those teams that are really backloaded.
What do the Bengals have on that list that you're looking at right there?
Okay, so the Bengals in 2027 are like ninth.
Okay.
They've got the ninth most cap space. In 2026, they've got the third most cap space. So the Bengals have room to maneuver.
Yes.
It's just a question of, all right, is this franchise that used to be super stingy, but now they're more like a normal spending NFL team, do they get super aggressive and really start pushing off some money into the future?
Yeah, and I think, you know, look, these are decisions that the Texans are going to be faced with sooner rather than later. You know, Derek Stingley Jr. is already up for a contract extension once the league year begins in March. He's the best cornerback in football. At worst, he's one of the two or three best cornerbacks in football coming off an incredible season. Will Anderson Jr. and C.J. Stroud are both going to be eligible for extensions after next season. And they're both, these are, and I'll throw Stingley in there too, like, as they're trying to figure out Chase and Higgins and Hendrickson in Cincinnati, the Texans likewise over the next few years are going to be figuring out Stingley, Will Anderson Jr., you know, Nico's getting paid. They're going to have to figure out what to do with this offensive line that is overpaid right now. And then add in that C.J. Stroud becomes the equivalent of Joe Burrow in this analogy, probably making more than Joe Burrow, you know, because he's the next one up after this. So these are situations, like, I'm glad you looked up that site, Seth, that shows the three-year outlook. Like, I'm looking at this Bengals situation, and I'm like, okay, this is – I'm paying close attention to this because this is – these are the gymnastics Nick Caserio and DeMeco Ryans are going to have to go through in a year
and
or two.
It's a big gamble, and if it pays off, then it's worth it. And if it doesn't, the GM gets fired. But it's that measured, aggressive spending. I don't know if this is good for radio or not.
Okay.
I'm going to try to make it. If we go by the teams that have the least cap space in 2027.
Okay.
So teams have spent pretty aggressively and have pushed some stuff off into the future to where they're going to have it'll be dicey and they're going to have to make some hard decisions.
Yeah.
Tell me whether it was worth it or not.
Okay.
I'll move from the Eagles, who have the least cap space in 2027.
Definitely so worth it for them.
Eagles, worth it. 49ers.
Made it to two Super Bowls over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, but this last year was when they actually just did that final big spend.
Yeah,
and I'm guessing that this is not going to be worth it.
And they haven't paid any quarterbacks really, other than Garoppolo a few years ago.
Right,
you know.
So if they pay Brock Purdy, it's going to get even uglier. Bills.
Hang on, I'm still thinking about 49ers. Was it worth it? That's a tough one, man, because like there is something to be said. I get it, the Super Bowl. If we're just going to sit here and do an exercise where if you didn't win a Super Bowl, then...
They've been in a... Right, yeah, let's not even say that. Like, did it pay off in terms of being a very, very competitive football
team? You're going every Sunday, you're going to the stadium thinking, man, we got a great team and we can win. And we all season long, you've got hope for the Super Bowl. I'm going to say yes for the 49ers.
And I'm just going to hold on with me for like three more teams
because
it gets really fun.
Good.
So Bills, I would say yes, it's been worth it.
Yes.
Then it's the Lions. I would say that's been worth it.
Yep.
This one's a little bit fun, but not as fun as the next one. Dolphins, worth it or not?
No. No.
Yeah, especially Tyreek Hill. Who knows like what... Every three weeks there's drama with whether or not Tyreek Hill wants to remain a Miami Dolphin.
They haven't won a playoff game since 2000. Like, win a playoff game. You know what I mean?
This is the one that feels awesome.
Okay.
So, with the sixth lowest amount of cap space in 2027, having spent heavily and leveraging against their future, your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That is on them, man. Like they let Trent Baalke run up all their credit cards.
Yeah,
and then they said, okay, you know, he just took off for Mexico, you know, like that kind of thing.
And now they're in debt settlement resolution. they called up the number where they can negotiate down your debts and everything, and it's not fun for a few years, you know.
That's brutal.
Got friends who have gone through that. They got to get their credit rating right, and it sucks. It sucks for a few years.
It's not fun, man.
You can't go on family vacations and everything, you know. But you got to do it.
Then after that, the Packers.
I would say the Packers right now, that's still a work in progress and it might be worth it.
Is it worth it? Some of that is probably, is it worth it? I'm thinking like, how far back am I going to, you know, like, I mean, they were a 13
win currently, that's still part of their spend right now.
Yeah.
Is that they feel like a team that could turn the corner.
They're a playoff team. I think you couched it perfectly. It feels like they're kind of in the middle. You know, that's a tougher debate than some of these other ones. That's, of the teams you named, that's the toughest one because I don't know, like Jordan Love the second half of the season was not the same Jordan Love that got the $55 million a year contract.
And then just to round out the top 10 in terms of teams that have spent the most heavily on into the future, the Browns, meh, the Ravens, yes.
Yes.
The Cowboys. Oh, good job, Cowboys.
No for Cowboys. Dude, the Browns. The most depressing ones, if you didn't have like an emotional attachment to anything, like if you're just like, I laugh at the Browns one and I laugh at the Jacksonville one because, you know, the Browns did the Deshaun Watson trade with the Texans and the Jags are in our division, so screw you. But if you were detached emotionally, like that's, I mean, that Browns one, holy crap.
No, man, they've got nothing to show for
it. Are they still, I think Deshaun,
nothing at all.
I think Deshaun is still on their cap right now in 2027. Even though his contract is up in 2026, they did the voidable year thing and shoved even more money into the future. Boy, what an awful, awful deal.
The amount of dead money Deshaun Watson will have in 2027 is $26 million.
Yeah, he's still on there, man.
Yeah.
Wow,
Dude,
is he even playing football?
In 2028, in which the contract year is void completely, is $9 million.
Oh, my God. That's insane. He won't even be playing. Do you think he takes another snap, Deshaun Watson?
I think... how are they proceeding right now? He had the setback with his Achilles, and is it pretty much just a foregone conclusion?
That he's out for this year? Yeah,
he's not the guy this year. Yeah,
this year, because he had to get surgery again on it.
I know. I just didn't know how they were, or at least publicly how they were framing it, if they're even trying to make it look like, yeah, there's a chance and he's our guy. I don't know.
I saw a few articles talking about Myles Garrett, about trading him, that I don't know whose idea it was, but it's a good one. That, okay, if we're going to trade you Myles Garrett, you got to take Deshaun Watson with it. you got to take those guaranteed salaries the next couple of years for Deshaun Watson.
$172 million in dead money this year.
Yeah, and some of that, like a lot of that is salaries that are guaranteed the next two seasons. Would you rather get two first-round picks for Myles Garrett, or would you rather get Deshaun Watson's guaranteed salaries the next 2 years completely off your books? Like, say you would you rather have
$172 million off the books?
It wouldn't be 172 because some of that is dead money that they've already paid in bonuses. It would be, I think, like $90 million. It'd be his base salary for the next 2 years. So would you rather have two first round picks or an extra $90 million in cap space if you're the Browns?
Oh, I see. So if they traded him, it would be $81 million.
Is that what it is? Okay. Yeah.
I think I'd rather. That's a tough one.
Yeah. Some of it depends on who you're trading him to. You know what I mean? Like, what are those first round picks? What team are you getting those first round picks from? You know, if you're trading Myles Garrett to like the Cowboys, where you figure they might be picking in the top 10, it's different than trading Myles Garrett to the Chiefs, where those first round picks are, you know, 31, 32.
I think part of it with Deshaun, though, too, is the whole, there's that whole, the veil that hangs over the entire organization because of the Deshaun Watson trade, that it might be worth it.
Get him out
just
the door.
In terms of being able to just clear the slate and move forward without all of that hanging over you. That part might be worth it. Whatever the math is, that part alone might
be
worth it.
The emotional math, yes.
Yeah.
Getting him out of there. NBA report cards at the All-Star break. I did not like this one. This professor who gave this grade to the Rockets can go screw himself. We're gonna tell you what the grade was.
He can go. You know what that professor can do? We can go find old emails of his.
Yes.
Yeah.
And get him fired.
And make them public. Dox him. Let's dox this SOB.
Yes. Tenure schmenure. Yes. Let's go. Also, you have a chance to win a trip. We're gonna do that next, by the way. Also, you have a chance to win a trip to Vegas in our Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. This is an amazing contest. All you got to do is listen an hour each day to Sports Radio 610 on the Odyssey app, and you and three friends are headed to Vegas to stay at Circa, hang out in their sports book, hang out at the stadium swim. It's amazing. You're going to have $20,000 in your pockets, you and your three friends, total of an extra $20,000 in your pockets to spend while you're in Vegas. Download the Odyssey app, listen for an hour each day, and you'll get your daily entry to the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Seth and I are getting... I don't even think this is petty. I think we're getting appropriately agitated with the grade giver for The Athletic on their NBA report card, All-Star Break NBA report card. And you know what? And this is going to agitate me even more. The author of this article, grading every team season at the 2025 All-Star Break, is the Athletic NBA staff.
Yeah, so is the staff at large. Yeah. They don't even put their name on it.
Nope, will not put their name on it. And you know why we're so agitated by this faceless staff of NBA writers at The Athletic? I'll go find all of you if I have to, because the Rockets, who are even limping into the All-Star break 3-7 in their last 10 games.
You're right.
It is undeniable that if we're grading for the entire season, this is a team that is well ahead of schedule right now.
I'm going to say this. I think that I'm reading through this, and as I start to see some teams that were graded better than the Rockets, they're getting credit for, like, the Blazers are getting, they got graded better than the Rockets. They're getting credit for being on the right track. They've won 23 games. So the Rockets preseason win total was 42.5.
Yep.
They're on pace for 51 wins right
yes.
now.
Yes.
I think the Rockets are a victim of having established themselves more solidly than even these idiot basketball writers realize. So in their minds, they're judging the Rockets on a different scale than they are some of the teams where you're like, oh, wow, yeah, the Blazers are really doing some good things, and they're, you know, they've gotten the ship right. They're still a bad basketball team.
Okay.
And you're giving them a B+, where you're giving the Rockets a B-.
Yeah. Now, this is where I'm curious. Is the Rockets, are the beat writers the ones giving the grades to their teams that they cover? Because Kelly Eco's name is on the paragraph written about the Rockets and their B. Have we said the grade yet? B minus is what
they got. Said that. I think if they usually, the way I guess these things work is they either all vote or they give points and everything. They've got some kind of a system. But then you have the beat writer write up the synopsis of where the team
That's
is.
That's what
right
I choose
now.
To believe, because I choose to believe Kelly, who watches every minute of Rockets basketball, wouldn't look at this product and say it's a B- right
now. No, because otherwise then you've got guys grading on their own scale in their own minds and then putting it out there, does it? Like, as far as they only doled out, it's a tough, now listen, it's a tough curve. They only gave out 5 A's.
Okay, who are they?
The A's are this, and these are the ones that tell me if it makes sense or if it's bogus. So these are either A's or A-. I don't know if there was an A+ in there. Let's start with the Grizzlies. I say that makes sense that they got that they've got a better grade than the Rockets.
They're a good team. But an A,
two rookies,
an A versus a B minus. Like the Rockets have played the Grizzlies tough this year. You know,
so, yeah, that's a good. Oh yeah, if you went the head to head,
you know what I mean. Like I do. Like the Rockets, the one thing, and we'll go through the rest of the teams in a second, Seth. But just where the B minus for the Rockets is a disconnect for me is I get it. They don't look great going into the All-Star break. They've beaten a ton of really good teams this year.
Right. Right.
They're not lamb killers.
Some of the Bs are the ones that really annoyed me.
Yeah.
The Cavs, that makes sense.
Yes.
Okay.
Who the Rockets beat twice, by the way. But yes, it makes A makes sense for them. They've had a good season. Yes.
Okay. This one, they got an A-, I believe.
Okay.
Two games ahead of the Rockets in the standings, the Nuggets.
The Nuggets.
Yeah.
And some of that is probably, if I had to guess, they've gotten better as the season has gone on. You know, they were behind the Rockets, as you point out. They're probably getting some residual love from being a recent NBA champion. You know, it's a benefit of the doubt grade. Like, you know, like ultimately they'll probably be a top two seed maybe in the Western Conference. But
all right, Lakers.
I can live with the
That's completely just glow from the Doncic trade.
Yes.
Which, if you're grading them to over how they've done so far, all right, yeah, they're going to be a better team with Doncic.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like you can vault it. If the Rockets are going to be a B-, and you got to look at how they've done this year comparatively to other teams in the league and everything, if you're going to grade them at this point in the season, you can't vault the Lakers up to an A just because they've had a couple of games with Doncic already.
It feels like there's a lot of forward-looking going on with these grades right now of what the beat writers think it's going to look like at the end of the year, you know? And the Rockets just got through the toughest patch of their schedule. That's where I give them a little bit of latitude. I think a B- is absurd. This is what the paragraph says from Kelly Eco. After hitting the ground running, Houston has been a rough watch the past 2 weeks. 23rd in offense, 19th in defense. The Rockets' fourth quarter struggles, 23rd in net rating in the fourth and in the clutch, continue to haunt them and could cost them. They only just climbed out of a six-game slump by beating the banged-up Raptors. These are all things I agree with. This is still an exciting, aggressive team that has a great shot at securing home court advantage in the first round, but it's in serious need of a vibes boost and needs more than a returning Jabari Smith Jr. and Fred VanVleet for a tough stretch run in the West. Well, they need more. It's not coming through that door. Like, the trade deadline is past us right now, you know?
Okay, this is one that bothered me. The A's didn't bother me as much. I missed one of the A's in there. There was one of the A's made sense. I don't have it listed.
Celtics, maybe? Yeah.
Okay, this was the A. The B-, the team that got the exact same grade as the Rockets in this is the San Antonio Spurs.
Okay. They're not even... Dude,
they acquired De'Aaron Fox, Sean. How are the Spurs a B-, and then the Rockets a B-?
This is the NBA we live in now, Seth. This is symptomatic of the NBA that we live in, where player movement is more exciting than the actual product on the court.
Especially for these annoying writers.
The Doncic trade, the trade itself brought way more excitement than anything the NBA, than anything I've experienced on the court in the last couple of years with the NBA. And so you're absolutely right. If the season ended today, the Spurs aren't even in the play-in right now. And they're a B-, and the Rockets are competing for a two seed.
The Spurs and the Rockets have done exactly the same thing this season.
According to these grades.
According to these grades, which I guess is it. It is a testament to what the Rockets have done, and I think they've established themselves as a legitimate playoff team.
Yes.
They've had a rough stretch heading into the break. I'm hoping that it's just fatigue and inexperience at that point that led to that rough stretch, and we'll see a revitalized version of the Rockets.
Yeah.
But, it's disrespect, Sean. It's disrespect, and I will not stand for it from this New York Times-owned organization, The Athletic.
I disagree with Kelly a little bit on what he said there. They need more than a returning Jabari Smith Jr. and Fred VanVleet for a tight stretch run in the West. I disagree. I mean, they probably need more than that to go get to the NBA Finals or something like that. I do think to get back on the track they were on, where they were competing for a two seed. I think that's Jabari Smith Jr. is almost a separate topic to me. Like, because that conversation is, do you throw him back in the starting lineup? Does he come off the bench? I think for all the criticism Fred VanVleet gets, because he's a bit streaky as a shooter. Maybe his shot selection isn't the best all the time. His floor generalship out there, the lack of it has been very evident through the last several games for the Rockets.
And I think there is a part, too, where Udoka, you know, he said it through gritted teeth after the final game before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
But he did acknowledge that, all right, some of this might be fatigue. And you know he hated to admit it. And yet, at the same time, it's one of those counterintuitive things where you think, well, you got all these young guys. Why should fatigue matter? Part of it is learning and understanding the pressure and the grind of the regular season when you're an actual basketball team, that sometimes it takes a while for the young guys to figure that out. So it's not that Udoka likes that as an excuse, but it might be a legitimate explanation for some of the loss of physicality and tenacity that we saw earlier in the year. So I think that alone, just by being refreshed and maybe getting a little bit of a reset, the team can start looking more like they used to. Like in like this, you see this in endurance sports, like ultra endurance sports, like in the Tour de France or in like ultra marathoning. People actually get better as they get past their physical peak as they're older, just because they've learned how to handle the fatigue more so than with. So like there's a mental side to it that I think applies to like a long basketball season as well. So I think that'll, I do think you're going to see a revitalized version of the Rockets when they come back on Friday.
I agree. And they're getting a nice long break. I mean, they're getting a break all the way to Friday. The games start back up tomorrow night. All right, I just wrote my grade down, Seth, real quick before we go to break here, on a piece of paper. So I wrote mine down. I'm slipping it under my computer. What is your grade for the Rockets?
I would give him, honestly, if it weren't for this last stretch of 10 games, I would have given him an A- pretty solidly. Mm-hmm. But I'll knock him down to a B+. But I try to remember, look, this is a team that's on pace to have 10 more wins than their preseason win total. They've already far surpassed expectations.
Season's
what
been
did
a
you
huge
say, B+.
B+ also. Yep, you wrote down B+. Yeah, okay. And I kind of the same thing. I toyed with an A- a little bit, but it's tough. You know, when you're hovering at the 4 or 5 seed, to say that you're in that A realm right now. But it's been a huge success. You know, you can parse out different parts of the season, but the season itself has been a big success. All right, B+, official grade for the Rockets from the Payne and Pendergast show.
I might have to cancel my subscription to The Athletic.
I can't. It's really good. It's the good stuff.
Yeah. Damn it. Damn you and your quality content.
And your easy to read fonts. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one. And their draft guide. This is turning into an advertisement.
I know.
So their draft guides are usually actually really cool because you'll have, graphics. You can get the brief rundown, but then you can click and it'll give you a little bit more of a rundown. And then you can click again, it'll give you a huge rundown.
It's amazing. Yeah. I apologize, Athletic. I apologize.
I'm sorry. I'll never leave you. I promise. I grade you A+.
All right. Bregman causing drama at Boston Red Sox spring training. Is it his fault? I don't think it's his fault, but there is drama surrounding the Red Sox after the signing of Alex Bregman. We'll dig into that coming up next. And also a quick reminder that we're giving away rodeo tickets in the 9 o'clock hour to Bun B's Birthday Bonanza. So stay tuned for that. Stay there.
Hey, sports fans. It's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.